Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
9:37, Dean Richards, Sunday
just
morning.
To have a laugh,
WGN, I'm so excited to share with you my one-on-one conversation with the legendary Carol Burnett.
And before you know,
the word legendary is thrown around way too often, but it definitely applies when it comes to Ms. Burnett, who will be in Chicago, by the way, on April 28th, Thursday night at the Chicago Theater. She does an amazing one-woman presentation. Tell you more about that later on. And Carol Burnett coming up this morning at 11. Right now, though, another legendary character. He is the chief medical officer of Central DuPage Hospital, the legendary Dr. Kevin Most. Happy Easter to you, my friend.
Dean, same to you. Carol Burnett, how old is Carol Burnett?
I would have to look that up. I'm going to guess mid-80s, maybe.
Wow, she really has aged well, hasn't she?
She has aged well. She is vibrant. She is, although she's had a lot of adversity in her life, she's 88. We looked it up, 88 years old. She is sharp as a tack and funny as ever. And we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. I wanted to, before we talk about a couple of COVID things, I wanted to just touch on two things first. We were out at the home opener for the White Sox at a Guaranteed Rate Field. And, you know, we were broadcasting our TV segments from outside the ballpark. And in one of the segments that we did, legendary Harold Baines stopped by to say hello. He's kind of an ambassador for the White Sox now. Harold Baines, who has just gone through heart and liver transplant surgery, and he looked fantastic. He looked very, very, very healthy, and it looked great. I was reading a story this morning about a little toddler that had a liver transplant, and it saved the little toddler's life, and she's doing great. How common is that now? Is transplant surgery, can we say that it's fairly common now?
Yeah, Dean, you hit on a couple things. So I wouldn't say it's common, but we certainly are getting so much better at it. I mean, and I don't want to brag about Northwestern, but you probably saw Dr. Brock Middle, who did numerous lung transplants during COVID, people who would have died from COVID that got double lung transplants.
Right.
And so it's getting that not only the surgery is better, but the medication, anti-rejection medication is better. And I think probably the big thing is donor awareness. And, you know, if you're going to be a donor, please sign up. It's so easy to do, because as you hear the stories, whether it's Harold Baines or the young individual who was saved by a double lung transplant from COVID, the impact of what we can do after we pass is pretty substantial and pretty powerful.
Yeah, and really, isn't it just a matter of checking a little box when you go to get your driver's license, something that's like super easy to agree to be an organ donor?
Yep, you can go online, and it's very simple to do. So, I mean, look, and Harold Baines is probably smiling and happy and saying, boy, he's got a second lease on life, and just amazing. And then when we see what happens, you know, even with kidney donors, where you can be a kidney donor, you're a live donor. We have two kidneys. You can donate one of your kidneys.
Right.
So there's many, many stories of that. And even liver now, where they'll take a section of your liver. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, when I saw Harold Baines, I hadn't learned about the surgeries until after. I thought, oh, wow, cool. Harold Baines, you know, kind of a legendary sports figure in town. Nice to meet you. And then later, you know, someone said, you heard what happened, right? That he had like this surgery. I was like, he looks amazing. He looks like he could get on the field right now and hit a home run.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we should all be, in Illinois, we should all be proud of Jesse White and all he's done for his donor awareness. So anybody who's listening who hasn't done it, please do it. You will make an impact.
The other medical question that I had was about the death of comedian Gilbert Gottfried this week at only 67 years old. We learned that he was living with myotonic dystrophy. It's an inherited form of muscular dystrophy, as I understand it. Can you explain more of what that is?
You hit it right on the head. You know, it's a genetic disorder, certainly very rare, which, you know, I don't want people thinking, oh my gosh, could I get this? So it's genetic, and it's essentially progressive muscle degeneration. So your muscles stop working, they weaken, and they stop being functional. And it's very unfortunate. Now, he was aware of his condition. He was told, and he knew of what laid ahead of him with. It's a progressive illness. There's no cure for it. There's no treatment for it. So it's one of those where when you're told it, it's sad, but at least you know what's ahead of you. And he knew about the chance of a cardiac arrhythmia because it affects the heart muscle as well, unfortunately, as well as the breathing of the diaphragm muscle that allows us to breathe. So very unfortunate. And he died because his heart actually went into an arrhythmia that was pumping so fast, or beating so fast, I should say, that it was not an effective pump, and he passed from that.
Is it something that debilitates the body over the years? I would see Gilbert Gottfried fairly often. I mean, whenever he was in town, he would stop by the TV morning show and make us laugh until we were crying. He was so funny. But he would also show up at, you know, these interviews that I would do out of town, New York or L.A., Gilbert was there. So I would see him all the time. And over time, I noticed he was just kind of a small man anyway, but he clearly was, something was going on where he was losing weight. He didn't look healthy. He began to have difficulty walking, you know, things like that. Are those all common symptoms of the myotonic dystrophy?
Absolutely. And, you know, you could probably see it in his face. You could see it in his posture. And as we lose the ability, not only do the muscles degenerate, but what they're supposed to do doesn't work. So holding up your shoulders, walking more efficiently, all of those things. And it's a devastating illness. You know, a lot of research is being done right now, obviously, on genetic manipulation. Can we do something with the genes, or can we at least identify this and make sure that people are aware of what could happen? But you hit it spot on. You probably, especially someone like you that saw him, you know, sporadically but frequently, you could notice a change in him versus someone who just saw him for the first time.
I want to ask you one more thing because it's Easter Sunday and Passover. Families are getting together. They're having huge feasts. What kind of caution do you have? Normally holidays bring out the unhealthiest foods that people will gorge on today. Is there anything that's, especially red flaggish about what people might be doing to their diets today?
You know, between Thanksgiving and Easter, it's probably like, well, all right, you got your total daily caloric intake in your first five bites. You know, so certainly it's one where moderation is probably the best. And knowing that, hey, you know what, we're celebrating with our family. It's the first time. If you're being COVID safe, you know, go ahead and enjoy it. But understand the next week, you might want to do those extra 5,000 steps that day, or watch what you eat the next day, because I hate to take away, especially from, you know, from kids, the importance of having this holiday meal with their family.
A lot of candy is going to be eaten today.
A lot of jelly beans.
A lot of chocolate bunnies are going to lose their ears today. we know that. And the traditional main dish is ham, which is, delicious, but like sodium through the roof. And really, you want to try to enjoy it, but moderation, I guess, really is the key there, right?
Yeah, you're right. And anybody who has heart failure or any heart issues, certainly be careful about eating that. Because like you said, it's the salt, it's the sodium intake that makes you retain water, then that makes your heart work harder. So I'm sure all those with congestive heart failure or any types of heart failure, their doctors have told them, be careful what you're doing at this time and be careful of how much what you're eating. So most of those people are going to know that, sure, take a couple bites of the ham, but don't go back for seconds and thirds.
Yeah. Okay. Well, glad I could spoil everyone's Easter dinner by even bringing that up. Just be aware of it. We'll take a quick break. I've got a couple of COVID-19 questions for Dr. Kevin Moe, Central DuPage Hospital, after this. 9:51, Dean Richards Sunday morning with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospitals. 312-981-7200 if you've got a question for the doctor. So they're about to put their masking mandate back up in Philadelphia. I presume numbers are going up there. Is that going, do you think that will be a trend around the United States and especially here in the Chicago area for us?
And, Dina, I think it's going to be interesting. It'll be like a little mini experiment. And I also think it's interesting the timing of it. Now, if I'm the mayor, why am I going to wait for the day after Easter when everybody is going to all these restaurants and brunches and all that to say, hey, we have the problem? So it will be interesting. You know, their cases are going up. They're doubling every 2 days. Hospitalizations are still low, but they were only off the mask mandate from March 2nd. So not even a full 2 months before they ended up going back onto this. So we will all be watching very closely to see how the cases trend in Philadelphia and how the hospitalizations trend.
Do you think that's also why the federal travel mask mandate has been extended? Everybody thought that they were going to end it, but they have now decided to extend it to May 3rd. Same reason, because of the BA2 rates, the Omicron 2 rates that are going up?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're looking at what's going on in New York, where not only the rates are going up, but now their hospitalizations are starting to tick up a little bit, it would not surprise me to see them extend this again, because we haven't seen, you know, we're seeing this uptick, and now we have BA4 and BA5 that are, you know, starting to circulate around the world. So I think they're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to continue with mask mandates, knowing that we're going to continue to have sub-variants that we really can't control?
So given all of that now, with Easter and Passover family get-togethers now, do you think it's a smart idea to put the masks back on around, you know, close proximity to people when you're indoors? Do you think social distancing, again, makes sense?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest thing is vaccination. So if you're fully vaccinated and boosted, you know, the chance of you getting a severe illness, which is what we're protecting from, is extremely low. That, and, you know, eventually sometime the weather in Chicago has got to get better. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but we have to get better so that we're spending more time outside. And really, I would say what you really want to do is be careful around those immunocompromised and those seniors. Those are the ones that we're trying to protect. So will we go back to a mask mandate? I'm not so sure, but certainly use your wisdom, use your common sense of when you're going to be around people to mask appropriately. And I think we're going to get to a point where we just keep a mask in our pocket and we're wearing it, you know, when we think we should be.
Yep. Here's a text kind of merging a couple of things that we've talked about. Can COVID patients donate organs?
Absolutely. 100% they can, just like someone with influenza could donate organs. Now, that being said, you know, depending how bad your COVID was and, you know, some individuals who were ravaged with COVID say, oh, I want to be a lung transplant, lung donor, your lungs may not be in the condition to do that. But certainly other organs, corneas, livers, kidneys, heart, absolutely we would.
Can somebody with diabetes be an organ donor?
100% again. You know, the microvascular changes in diabetes, obviously people who have it know that it can impact their kidneys. It can, but certainly a healthy diabetic can still be a donor. You know, people have to understand that when we say organ donors, we're talking about skin, we're talking about corneas, you know, we're talking about more and more different parts that are going to make an impact in someone else's life. So, yes, absolutely.
And someone asking,